he began to prepare them for things that were going to be different than they had ever known. And they didn't understand. They're much like you right now. What's happening? What's going on? Something's different than before, and we don't quite understand what's happening. And so in the confusion, in the midst of all that was going on that had changed and was different for them, they made some choices that were not the very best. Some of you may be making choices right now that are not the very best. You're saying, what's that crazy preacher doing? Everybody knows you start with a call to worship and the welcome, and we welcome the guests. We don't have the message first. LP, tell him to sit down and be quiet. As you can see, we've thrown LP out of the auditorium. I want you to look with me in John chapter 13. Here's Jesus washing the disciples' feet in the first part of that chapter. In the 18th verse, he begins to identify the one that will betray him. He announces to his disciples, there's one among you who is not like you. The Bible says he knows whom he has called. This morning, I want you to think about, you're not incognito with God. You might be incognito with me, maybe even with your wife or your husband, but you're not incognito with God. God knows your dirty little secrets. He knows my dirty little secrets. He knows, hard to believe, Kay Forbes's dirty little secrets. We're not incognito with God. And listen to me, folks, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Just imagine if you could hide something from God. Jeff, what would you hide? Huh? We'd all have something to hide, wouldn't we? Something that we think about on the day that God calls us home. I'm going to give an answer for this. What am I going to say? Aren't we glad that we can't hide anything from God? You know what makes it so wonderful? And this is what the message is about today. Even though he knows all and he sees all, he loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. Just a moment ago, I walked up to Kathy Sugget over here, who plays our organ, and I said, you can go sit down by Bill. I counted. She asked me 7 times from the organ to her seat, you mean I can go sit with Bill? Yes, by all means, go sit with Bill. You're going to embarrass me, aren't you, Brother Frank? No, Kathy. I'm not even going to mention your name. Now, at that point, I wasn't lying. Now I have. You understand? Things change, and we don't anticipate what is changing, and sometimes change causes us to think and do things differently. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, I'm leaving, but it's all the same. And so he gets up, and he takes a towel, and he girds himself, and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. That's what the beginning of the 13th chapter says. See there? And guess what happened? Some are in just sheer pop-eyed amazement, like Vonda was this morning. Have the choir sit down. We'll call them up when it's time. You mean, really? Yeah. Okay. And she was amazed. She doesn't know what's happening, but okay, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to do it. Some of them sat there just like that. Some of them sat in dead silence and didn't say anything. And so after it's over, they're in luck, you see, because they're not like Peter, who said, Lord, if you're going to wash my feet, wash all of me. And I just assumed you wouldn't wash my feet. And Jesus said, be quiet, Peter. Let me do what I'm doing. Just hush. Some of you are like Peter. You'd want to say, preacher, we can't do this. Don't do that anymore. We don't like that. Do it the other way. Go back. Trust me. We've tried it. You've told us. I know how you like it. Those who have been quiet, you have the option. You might be the most crucial of all the deceivers. Because when you don't commit, guess what? You're not held accountable for what you committed to. Gosh, and there you thought you were hiding. And so sometimes we don't commit to anything, so we don't have to bear the responsibility of failure or success. That way we can join whichever side seems to be winning. Whichever side seems to be right. Whichever side paints me in the best light. But Jesus, as he washes the feet of his disciples, bears something out to them that they did not expect. And this is what he said after he washed their feet. Jesus said, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." Verse 11, "For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." It only counts a credit to us, it only becomes blessing to us when we do what God has called us to do. It's not enough that you know what to do. It discredits the statement, "I know this isn't what God wants, but I'm just going to do it anyway." It's still sin. "For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." The best word there is rebellion. To him it is rebellion. My father used to correct me and say, "Did you not understand that this is what I wanted you to do?" And I would say, "Yes, sir, I understand." "So you openly, in defiance, rebelled against what I asked you to do." Boy, that seems a whole lot worse than "I just didn't do it." You know what? But he's right. Openly defiant, openly saying, "I'm not going to do what God would have me to do, even though I know that's what he'd have me do, I still refuse to do it." Jesus said to them, "I want you to wash one another's feet. I ask you today, what was the picture of washing their feet? What was it a picture of? What did it demonstrate to them?" The Sunday school answer is, "Why, servitude." The real answer, the everyday answer, is that he loved them. He wanted them to know, "Even though I'm your master, even though I'm the Lord, even though I'm your teacher, I love you. Even though I know your dirty little sins, I love you." Think about that today. In spite of who I am, in while I was yet a sinner, Jesus, God, sent his only Son to die that I, in my dirty little sin, would be saved. So that his name would be lifted up and glorified. So now, let's pick up our story in the text for you today. Verse 31, "So when he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him.' If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you," listen, here's the commandment, listen, "a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." By this expression of that kind of love, by this act, they will know, all will know, that you are my disciples, if you have this kind of love for one another. Folks, today, the only way that the church is appealing to a lost and dying world today is because of the love that they see between us. Listen, we do a wonderful ministry in the food pantry and giving away food. We do a wonderful ministry of giving away school supplies to kids. We do a wonderful ministry of making quilts for the children's home. We do a wonderful ministry of RAGA's Mission Friends. We do a wonderful ministry of Camp Spark in the summer. We do a wonderful ministry of youth programs. We do a wonderful ministry in lots of areas in our church. But that is not going to win the world. You know what's going to win the world? That they look and see that we love one another. Because if we love one another, guess what? They think, well, if Brother Frank loves Brother Gene, then he might just love me. And if Brother Gene loves Brother Frank, and they both love Brother Mike, then there's a good chance that I can be part of that, and I can get some of that love, and I will have somebody that I can love back. And it's through that expression of love that the world will be won. It's not a secret, folks. God said, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody, whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The key ingredient to that entire doctrine and theology is that God loved us, in that while we were yet sinners, he loved us in spite of who we were, and that unconditional, gracious, godly love changed everything. Now, let me tell you something about meeting people you don't know. If you haven't met many people you don't know, I have met a bunch in my 60 years, going on 61 years, for those of you that are math students. And I'm telling you, new people will surprise you. New people will do things that you don't quite understand. And oftentimes I find myself, much like a new puppy, when he hears a sound he's never heard before. You know, what is that person doing? And you think, how strange. And upon that, I build a basis of whether or not I love, whether or not my expression of love, whether or not this is what I do. This morning we came in and everything was different. People were standing up talking, and all of a sudden the preacher starts preaching, and that's not how we do this. Brother Frank, what are you doing? Stop. Get back to normal so I know what to do. Now, some of you will love me enough that this week you won't say a word about this. Some of you will love me so much you'll tell me how wonderful it was. Some of you, Pat Stuckey, will love me so much that you will say, don't ever do that again. We don't like it. But let me tell you something. The world sees how we treat one another. Now, church, I'm your pastor. I've been around here a long time, 13 years. I told Shelly, kind of get some things together. We may be leaving. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you are one of our church members, and I've not heard anything, so don't think, uh-oh, I wonder what Brother Frank heard. And did I say it? That's the worst part, right? If you're one of those church members who talks ugly about your church, talks ugly about somebody in the church, talks ugly about your pastor, talks ugly about your deacons or your trustees, listen to me. I've got a word for you from God. Stop it. Don't do it. You're sinning when you do it. You have to love me whether you like it or not. Na, 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 na. Because God said we're to love one another. Now, I know some of you are mean. I know who you are, right? You say, but Brother Frank, that Wendell Sconce, he's kind of ornery. I know that, but you just got to love him anyway. Because when you love him, you get Phyllis, and there's nothing ornery about Phyllis. We're sup. That's almost funny, isn't it, Wendell? We're supposed to love one another, and it doesn't mean I love you because you behave the way I think you ought to behave. I love you because God said you're my brother and sister in Christ, and I'm supposed to love you. As a matter of fact, Paul spent an entire chapter to the church at Corinth talking about love. And we've messed this up so many different ways, it's ridiculous in the church. The 13th chapter of Corinthians is not about a husband and wife or a boyfriend and a girlfriend loving each other. It's about the church loving the church. Me and you loving one another. I went to Gene Lawson's house the other day and asked him to give me some flowers. And you know what he gave me? He gave me a weed that grows in his yard. A trumpet bush. It takes over everything. That didn't seem like much love, did it? Actually, I went and asked for some of that trumpet bush. And he was shocked. He learned something he didn't know. And that is, my pastor knows nothing about a trumpet bush. He said, Brother Frank, you realize this bush takes over everything. I said, that's good. Where I'm planting it, there's nothing. And I want there to be something. And so I like the little orange trumpets. If you don't know what they are, go by Gene's house. He'll be glad to give you some. By the way, it cost you $12 at the garden shop, so Gene's is a lot cheaper. I mean, I owe him $36, but he'll wait. Our expression of love is demonstrated on how we treat one another, and that's what the world sees. And Jesus, when he got up and began to wash the disciples' feet, here it is, the shadow of the cross upon him. God has said the time is now. He knows he's going to suffer and die at the hands of the Romans. He knows he's going to lead them, and he says, I want to express to them how much I love them. And so here's how he did it. Listen to me. He washed Judas's feet. Don't you dare come to me and ever say, oh, Brother Frank, we can't love them. They stand against God. Stop it. Jesus girded himself, knelt down at Judas's feet, and washed his feet. You don't think he stood against God? We have no excuse not to love a lost, dying, perishing world. And today, it's not our option. We don't get to decide to. We have to. God commanded us to. We're his children. Can't tell you the number of times it crossed my lips. How come you're doing that? Because my dad told me to. Or because my mom told me to. Funny thing about my parents, they really never needed a reason for telling me to do something. As a matter of fact, they kind of took offense if you ask what the reason was. So I learned to quit asking. Go pick up the gravel out of the driveway, put it in a 5-gallon bucket, carry it the other end of the driveway, and dump it out. Yes, sir. Be right on it. Got it. Made no sense to me. But it didn't have to make any sense to me. You know why? Because the one that was in charge of me said, do it. Parents, listen to me. One parental note, and I'll move along because I haven't been that hot at it. You don't have to give an explanation to your kids. You don't have to be their friend, but you do have to be their parent. You do have to be the parent. And some days, kids, sorry to give you this news, the right answer is you don't need to know, just do it. Go do it. Sometimes I think God looks at the church as we scour the scriptures trying to determine why we should do the things that he tells us to do, that he sometimes wants to say, just do it. You don't have to know why. If you wanted to know why, I'd make it plainer than that. You don't need to know why, just do it. And we're to love one another. Why? Best reason I know of. Because he told us to. The Bible says, Jesus said to his disciples, by this all, not some, remember that Greek scholar word? The word all in the Greek always means all. That's right. All will know. Even those who are unbelieving will know. Wow, think about that. Even those who will reject will know. They will know that you love them. I had an aunt that died several years ago, and I was in Oklahoma City, and I had two uncles that were very much a part of the churches of Christ. Now, I'm talking about the Church of Christ that didn't believe in piano playing, didn't have music, didn't believe in an organ. They sang a cappella. They believed they were the only ones going to heaven. If you weren't a member of the Church of Christ, you weren't going. So obviously, they didn't think I was going. And my Uncle Marin, which is my mother's baby brother, was at the bedside in the hospital with me, with this aunt, my mother's sister. And we stayed there quite a while, and we prayed with her. And day after day, I would come back, and I would see her. And the day she was dying, the doctors had told us, and Uncle Marin went out of the waiting room, and he was not one to show his emotions much, but I could tell that he was emotionally upset. And I sat down beside him, and I looked at him, and I said, Uncle Marin, I realize, my aunt was a Southern Baptist, by the way, I said, I realize that you don't think Aunt Bert's going to make it to heaven. I realize that, and I respect that. But I want you to know something today. She's confessed Jesus as her Savior and Lord. And no disrespect intended here, but it doesn't really matter what you and I believe. What matters is the relationship between her and her Savior. And that's really all that matters. And a few days later, after she had died and was at the funeral, Uncle Marin walked up to me and he hugged me around the neck and he whispered in my ear, "You can't tell anybody this, but I know when I get to heaven, I don't know if I'll see Bert there or not, but I know I'm going to see you. By this, they will know that we love one another, even those who are different than you and I." Some of you are different than me. You really are. Some of you are married to people that are different than Shelley. Bless your hearts. Because I got the best, you know. I got the best. She was the cream of the crop hiding in Oklahoma City, and I sniffed her out like a bird dog. We're all different. We don't love based upon conditions. We based our love upon that Jesus first loved us. This morning, I want to ask you as we move to the invitation, do you love one another? Do you love your neighbor? Remember, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. 1 Corinthians 13, I want you to go home today. Here's what I want you to do. This is your homework. I want you to think of the person in church that you like the least. All right? You got them? They're sitting next to you? No, I'm teasing. Think about the person that you like the least and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 today and ask yourself, do I? And if you don't, ask yourself why. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm not a lot of things, but one thing I am, I'm honest with you. Your pastor has people that I have to look up 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and say, do I? Do I really love them? And if I don't, how do I justify doing what God has told me not to do? This morning, we switched the order of the service on purpose so that you would recognize being different doesn't change the expectation. Now, in just a minute, we're going to have our worship service. But before we do, we're going to have an invitation time. And the invitation is the very same invitation that it is every week. You may be here this morning. You may be lost. You may not know Christ as your Savior. This morning, we want to invite you to come. That love that we've been talking about is the love that God has for you, even though you're in your sin, even though you're disobedient, even though you've not done what God has asked you to do. He still loves you, and He loves you today as much as He loves me. Has nothing to do with whether or not I've accepted him. For he loves us all. Today, his desire is for you to know him, to experience that love and to feel that love. You might say today, Brother Frank, I can't love some people like that. I just can't do it. Then I encourage you today, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, you need to examine your heart and say, why is that? Something's broke. Because friends, if you think that Jesus didn't love the thief on the cross next to him, or you think Jesus didn't love the Roman soldiers who drove the spike in his hands, or you think Jesus didn't love the Roman soldiers who scourged his back, or you think Jesus didn't love Pontius Pilate, or Herod, who condemned him to death, or you think Jesus didn't love Caiaphas and all of the high priests, my friends, you are mistaken. He went to the cross so that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. And today, you have no right, none, to not love everyone that God has created. Even though they stand against, Jesus said, he who's not for me is against me. But he didn't say, don't love him. We got to love him. This morning, we're going to pray together. We're going to have a time of invitation. You come if there's a decision in your heart and your life that you wish to make. After our invitation, we're going to go into our worship service. And you know what? We're going to be able to worship differently today because we've already had God's word. And we're going to sing and we're going to praise him and we're going to thank him and we're going to worship him in a way that may be a little different. And some of you may just come up to me and say, you know what, Brother Frank, I kind of like that. And that's going to be all right. But we're going to begin with this time of decision. Pray with me. Father, we're grateful this morning for your love for us. Lord, I pray as we come to this time of invitation, Lord, that you'll speak to us. Help us to realize, Lord, difference is no reason not to love. Lord, we have to learn to love as you taught us to love so that the world may know, Father, that we are your children. Lord, help us to love the lost, the dying, the perishing. Lord, help us to love our brothers, our sisters in Christ. Help us to love our pastors, our staff, our deacons, our trustees, our Sunday school teachers, those that lead worship for us. Lord, the troublemakers in our church. Lord, the gossips, those that are committing adultery, those that are living in sin, the pornographers. Lord, help us to love your children. God, that we might show the world of his great love for us. Speak to us, Father. Forgive us where we fail you. Lead us by your hand this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you stand with me? You come as we sing. You come.